Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am very grateful to be with you on this 24th day of August 2024. And I always love getting these wonderful questions that people have about their life. And sometimes they share a little bit about their life, which is deeply appreciative of on my part. I really care very much about where your questions originate. What's going on? Well, this question came from a gentleman in the Midwest. He calls himself Mr. Sim. Sim, S-I-M, all right, and I'm fine with that. I am very curious about why he asked this question, but here it is. What are we meant to do here on Earth? That was his question. Mr. Sim, I am grateful for the question. I'll do my very best to help you with it. I don't know if my answer will be gratifying enough after your email about feeling gratified about other teachers and such, so forgive me. You ask me what we are meant to do in this life. I don't know if it's a meant. M-E-N-T. I don't know if we're supposed to. Meant implies the idea of intent of supposed to do something. And I really don't feel that that's the manner nor the way of this life. I think people have to find their own intent. And the greatest intent is to first find out who they are. The second is to find out what they are. Now, the two don't merge very well together. First, you and I have to go through many, many things to find out who we are. Who is Greg Penn? Who's Mr. Sims? Who's you know, Jerry and Donna and Pat and Gloria and all these people we know in our life? Who are these people? Well, they have to find out for themselves. You have to find your origins first, your physiological origins. Find out where you came from, how you work, what makes up your mechanism in your body and impulses you to say and do things that you say and do. You have to look at that. What is my biology? What is my mother and father? What is their inherited impulses and their inherited stuff? You got to look at it all. And this is why Noah, in his beautiful book, Sapiens and Homo Deus, writes such beautiful insight as to what it means to understand the nature of the human being and find out where it came from. Havari is a very interesting man. He's a brilliant, brilliant person. And he merges his meditation, what he would call his Buddhism. I call it more than that. But he merges some beautiful things. You need to educate yourself first on your biology, the history of your nature and history of human nature. And you can do that through the book Sapiens and Homo Deus. Those two books will help you immensely. But after that, then you have to start to look at how and why you and I behave the way we do. Here's where we get into Robert Sapolsky's work. And his work is about helping us understand why we have the tendencies to behave the way we do. And in his recent book, determined that we just do not have free will. And we don't. We are impulsed. As long as we live from our biology, we're going to live from the impulses. So, with all this being said, that you first have to educate yourself on understanding who you think you are. Now, this may take an entire lifetime to do this, Mr. Sims. It may take many, many years. You may never get past these three books. But even if you didn't, the service that they give you, the insights that they will give you, will help you get to the second one, which is what you are. Now, what you are requires meditation. It requires insight. It requires patience and kindness. You first understand that who you are is futile, absolutely futile. All it can do is muster up whatever it likes from the point of view of its biology, pleasuring itself. Then when you get past that and you're bored with that, or you come to the place, and it may take, I don't know, countless lifetimes. I really understand that with my students. It's countless lifetimes. They will come back to me in many different forms, and they will ask questions that are finally relevant to what they are. And that may happen with you. It may take 1,000 lifetimes, 100 lifetimes. I know this just doesn't turn you on, but it all depends on what you want to do. If you want to supersize it, as it were, then you would have to devote your entire life to the presence of understanding what you are, and then, or who you are, excuse me, and then go into what you are. This would take a Herculean effort on the part of yourself and anyone else listening to this podcast. You would really have to get involved. And that is very difficult when the mind has been shattered by delusion and illusion and is used to, like a spoiled little brat, wanting only what it can accept and understand, and not going out the confines of what reality really is, based in the enormous, enormous amount of information we have about the human being and understanding its futility. If you start looking at the way people are, the way they behave, the way they think, you understand why we came from ancient backgrounds that put us in societies and developed cultures that had nothing to do with love. It had to do with war and seeking peace, but not really finding it. They like to think they're looking for peace, but they're not. It goes through many, many different avenues, and you have to understand that. You have to be tolerant of that. And that's the hard part, is the patience and the tolerance to see things and to let ideas go that you once had that were very, very important to you in the form of your identity. When your identity is not as important to you as the true nature of your inner being, when your identity as a man is not as important to you as the presence of love that lives within you, as a matter of consciousness, that is when something huge can happen. And if you're of that ilk, which I don't know if you are, that would spring you forward into so many things that would be disorienting to your human psyche and probably would turn you off, because it is very difficult to awaken and self-realize when the human being of us, the who we'd like to think we are, is more important than realizing what we are. This is very, very difficult for most of us. So it can happen in an instant. It can linger into lifetime after lifetime. It can go many, many different places. Let me give you a quick little sutra from Buddha. This is, if you can, get this book, Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. It might be of help to you. A man was traveling across a field and encountered a tiger. He fled. The tiger came after him. Coming to a place where he was trapped by a cliff, he decided to jump the cliff and hang on to the root of a wild vine that swung over the cliff. Now his hands were clinging to this vine, for his own life. And swinging down over the edge, the tiger sniffed at him and growled at him. Trembling, the man looked down to a very, 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 very long fall, a fall that would kill him. But underneath that was another tiger waiting to eat him. The only thing that sustained him was the vine. Two mice, one white, one black, little by little started to gnaw away at the vine. The man saw the luscious strawberry near him on that vine growing. It was beautiful. He grasped the vine with one hand and plucked the strawberry with the other. "How sweet it is," he said. And that's the end of the little parable. If you, by any chance, Mr. Sim, can understand that, you will have accomplished a great deal in this life, and your answer will be obvious to you. Thank you, Mr. Sim, for your beautiful question. Contact me again if I can be of service to you. Thank you all for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. As always, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.